Hi guys, and welcome to today's edition of Friday Wrap with Michael Tran and myself. Now, we are doing obviously a different format. Instead of a video, we're doing this as a podcast just to see how things go. Michael, thank you for joining me, mate.
No dramas, mate. Happy to be here again.
Well, you know, we're in stage four, and you guys aren't in stage four yet, up in New South Wales.
Yeah, no, we're still hanging on in stage three, although our numbers haven't increased that significantly. It seems to be quite suppressed on a daily basis, so I haven't seen a need where we'll approach stage four just yet, but, you know, I don't want to jinx it just yet. Touch wood, hopefully New South Wales will be okay.
Yeah, fingers crossed for you guys. Okay, so let's go into the news. So with regards to the news cycle this week, I didn't really see much that sort of stood out. I mean, for the only thing I kind of sort of saw was that there was something in the press with regards to restrictions in terms of lending and on the business lending side. The government was not going to impose much more, I suppose you call it restrictions, so that business lending credit can still flow.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you heard as well?
Yeah. And look, one of the things that we're trying to stick closely is, we mentioned this last week, was the government-backed SME loans, right? Mm-hmm. They did increase that threshold up to $1 million and over 5 years and for investment or expansion purposes, which opens up the taps a little bit. And I've questioned my own sort of bank as to how they can incorporate that. So they're still waiting for further details to really leak any sort of information to us. I'd imagine that channel there may potentially stimulate quite a bit of business for the SME sector.
Well, hopefully so, because like I said, and I've just said it multiple times before, the SME sector is the engine room of Australia, or any economy actually. And if they are finding it hard for credit, they can't operate, they're not lose, you know, have to lay off staff. So,
yeah,
and we're seeing that in Victoria actually.
With the
stage four, we're seeing a lot of staff being and businesses laying off staff or standing down staff. So it's very unfortunate.
It is. Go on, mate.
No, I was going to say, what else is in the news?
Okay, right. Well, look, I guess I'll start from the federal level before we head to state. But one of the things that stuck out to me is obviously the announcements with the JobKeeper payments that the federal government is throwing in another $15 billion into that cash pool in the JobKeeper scheme. And in the same instance, they're also lowering the threshold or the criteria to obtain it. Previously, you know, businesses had to demonstrate about 6 months or 2 quarters worth of turnover loss to qualify for the scheme. Now, that's been brought down to 1 quarter. Where obviously the first round of the JobKeeper payments will end in September. And for businesses wanting to extend that or reapply for it, they'll have to demonstrate a quarterly loss for that September quarter, and then so on and so forth.
And that's a bit more, that to me, that's a bit common sense, isn't it?
Yeah.
From a government point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. Because in my sort of personal opinion as well, it really is that the moving feast of this COVID pandemic is almost on a week-to-week basis sometimes, right? And having a quarter as a gauge is much more appropriate than half-yearly. The losses are certainly realizing faster than they were expected in 6 months' time. So, you know, I think that's a good move from the government there.
Excellent.
The other thing that I wanted to point out as well is that earlier this week, you know, there was a lot of legislation discussion about increasing the superannuation from 9.5% to 12% gradually over 5 years. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of advocates saying that we should continue to stick to that timeline because of the early superannuation access so far. But there's a very, very interesting point from the other side of the parties, saying that if employers do contribute higher on the superannuation scale, how will this impact future wage growth, right? Because the more they have to contribute to super, the less funds that there are to boost up wages for staff that work incredibly well for the company and deserve a reward. And once you combine that on with the increasing numbers in unemployment and not getting a wage growth in the same instance, it almost compounds on the effects of how fast the economy can recover in that instance. So that's something quite interesting that stuck out to me.
Well, I think it's a valid point, because given the fact that, you know, I think no one expected a pandemic to happen, to implement that right now will actually won't stimulate the economy, to be honest, or anything, it'll stifle it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not we do stick to the timeline. and do continue with the proposed legislative increase on the superannuation, or whether we cull that back for the time being, just until at least the wage growth comes back to where it needs to be. So that's something we should certainly take a look out for. The other thing I want to touch topic on is in the June month, the deferred loan payments for home loans and SME loans has increased by about $40 billion. Yeah, it's a big number, and that brings the total deferred loans to about $274 billion. What does that sort of equate in terms of percentages? That's about 10% of all the loans out of all the banks in Australia. So it's, it's a big number. It's a big number.
It is a massive number.
It's a massive number, and like that number will gradually increase as we, you know, continue on with the calendar year, and hopefully businesses can trade through, but those that don't are going to increase that number there. But the the most interesting that APRA came out with is that, you know, people who were on the deferred payments who started making partial or full repayments were sitting about 34% in April. Now that's come back to 20% in May and June, meaning a lot of people who were making partial payments aren't making those partial payments.
They're not going well.
Yeah, so they're going back on deferred payments in full. So it is a bit of a foreshadow as to the business and confidence sentiment, I guess, across the board. And how July will look like. I mean, we just could envision that seeing stage four restrictions in July. I think I
would dare it's going to get worse.
Yeah, look, I would dare say the numbers are going to get worse. They won't be improving per se.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is it Victoria contributes quite a significant amount to the overall Australian economy, right? So if we're being shut down down here, that is definitely going to get worse.
Yeah, certainly right. I mean, the federal government has come out and said the shutdown in Victoria alone is going to cost roughly about $10 to $12 billion to the budget, right? And that's shrinking GDP by 2.5%. Now, in the world of GDP, 2.5% is quite considerable. It's almost astronomical when we're trying to recover even our inflation targets. They're also forecasting unemployment to reach 10%. Now that's coming off previously about 9% from the previous month from the ABS. But that 10% figure there that they're forecasting does not include JobKeeper payments and JobSeeker payments coming off potentially in March. So that number could potentially blow out much further than 10%. And as you know, if unemployment doesn't catch up to where it needs to be, the RBA may consider, you know, either decreasing the cash rate from 0.25 to flat, flirting with the idea of negative rates, although they've mentioned before they don't want to go down that path, but it may be inevitable if things continue to go the way they are.
Wow, that's all negative news.
Oh gosh, I know. I wish I could point to some more positive news, but you know, in the space of this week, it really is quite a bit of doom and gloom news out there. But if I can point to one positive sign this week, and I'll be quite critical of it, is that the new home loans rebounded, or home loans that were approved rebounded by about 6.2% in the June month, meaning that a lot more new homes were being approved, which is a good indication in that June month. That being said, I did read a... Did you?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that sort of, I suppose, would show that the home builder programs potentially might have an impact in something to do with that, assuming.
Yeah,
I could be wrong, but yeah, so the home and builder, obviously for to build plus obviously for renovations and so forth, that did generate a bit of buzz in the community itself, in the finance and coffee community. So obviously from there, then, you know, the media and the social medias, each broker would be sending out their own client base and database and so forth, that may have had something to do with it. I'm saying may, but you know, that's my two cents.
And you factor in all the other government stimulus from the state and federal level as well, that may potentially be boosting a lot of the new home loans being granted out there. But in saying that, I came across an article in Domain, which I'm sure I've seen time and time again in Finance and Coffee. A lot of people were speaking about delays in SLAs with the banks. In the article that I read in Domain, saying that it's blown out to about 8 weeks in some banks. And that's just based off the sheer pressures of COVID and how the banks are dealing with that in the background as well. So it looks like there's a significant delay, but also there's been an increase in home loans being granted in June. So I would say wait for July results, because we know that the sentiment may be going backwards. And let's see what the new home loan approval rate is there as a forecast of where we're heading.
Yeah, so just on the back of the SLA issue as well, we've had multiple sources telling us that, you know, the banks themselves are actually employing a lot more people to handle all the you know, obviously their ops teams overseas have been impacted. Mm-hmm. So I suppose that's one good news. It's not just, I mean, Westpac came out with it last week about 1,000 jobs to be onshored, but all the other banks are also hiring, but they're not actually making it as public as Westpac has done.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, it's good to bring jobs back to shore as well, right? It's two birds, one stone, improving the service, but also bringing jobs back to Australia. So I think that's a good move.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I wanted to touch on, probably quickly, it's probably more spotlight on Victoria once again, but it's something to consider because there will be impacts on a national scale. But just in terms of some of the services that obviously been announced by the Premier, but there's a bit of skepticism about food shortages in Victoria, which the Premier said that that's never going to happen. So anyone who's sort of concerned about that, that's not going to occur. But that's just off the back of fears about staff numbers being cut out in sort of red meat plants. You know, about 60% will be cut from Sunday. Chicken processing will be cut about 80% because of the incubation and life cycle differences for chickens.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, the metal fabrication businesses or brokers or clients out there that do fit this industry, their businesses will still operate under stage 4 restrictions. And metal fabrication, too, if you think about it, if we have to turn to other states to do that, it's going to be quite astronomical in terms of costs, particularly when they do services for hospitals, supermarkets, you know, and the like. So that's a good sign there. In terms of the construction industry, this is probably a big impact because of how big the property market is leveraged on this as well. It's just in terms of Victoria, it's gone onto a pilot mode where it's tiered restrictions based on the size of the project itself. So with large construction sites where you've got more than three stories, the workers have been limited to about 25% of the normal staff on a site. Mm-hmm. And with the smaller ones, only about 5 workers allowed on a single site at any one time. And that's all been in effect as of midnight this morning.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. And look, I'll quickly touch just quickly on the shares market. You know, it's recovered as of close of yesterday on Thursday. It's still back in the green despite the Victoria Stage 4 lockdowns. And we've seen that all the banks have gone higher as of Thursday end, except for CBA, which has gone back a little bit. But most importantly, the Aussie dollar is sitting at about 72 cents this morning, which seems to be climbing and climbing. And again, I've said that before, that there's considerable impacts for businesses out there in the importer and exporter industry. If unemployment continues to rise and the RBA does consider cutting that cash rate back to square, that may potentially boost some import and export trade activity as well. So I'll leave it there for the wrap this week.
Mate, thank you so much, Michael. Just on your last point as well, just my closing comment would be the fact that I always found it quite interesting where all the sentiment, I suppose, in terms of the real world, people are losing jobs and so forth. It looks bad, but yet the share market has done pretty well overall in the last 3 months.
That's right. Yeah, people are... Yeah, obviously, like you said before, moms and dads at home that have the time, they're starting to trade.
And But anyway, that's another thing altogether. We'll probably revisit this when the pandemic's over and there's analysis as to what's happening there, whether it is the day traders or something else. But anyway, Michael, thank you so much for your time.
No problems
at all. We'll catch you next week.
Beautiful. All the best, mate. Take care.
Thanks, mate. Bye.